If you're a future Libby lawyer, there's an exciting step I'm guessing you haven't taken yet. What is it? Figuring out the type of badass lady lawyer you should be. How do you do that? Well, let us tell you.
A longtime friend of the podcast and kick-ass new lawyer coach, Angela Borpal, has put together a free What Type of Lawyer Should I Be quiz. This is a 90-second quiz designed to reveal the type of law that will best fit your interests, career goals, and lifestyle. Can I get a yes, please? So, don't wait another second. Go to whattypeoflawyerquiz.com to take the first step towards your dream future lawyering life. And then make sure and send us a DM on Instagram to let us know what type of lawyer you got. We can't wait to nerd out over it with you.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Ladies Who Law School Podcasts. I'm Haley.
And I'm Sam.
And we're back with episode 18. We're done with 1L. What?
So we literally finished yesterday, but okay, so our criminal law exam opened up at midnight on, so basically Thursday morning.
Yeah.
And we studied all day and I stayed up and I know Haley stayed up and we took that test right at midnight so we could wake up in the morning and not have an exam waiting for us. So
yeah, and it was just like a sigh of relief to be done.
I mean, granted, it was horrible because we did drink so much coffee. I was up until 4:30. I know you were up till
like 5:30.
Yeah.
I also drank like a bunch of Spark, which if anyone drinks Spark, you probably know that it'll keep you up. I basically drank it around like 11 o'clock. So I couldn't go to sleep and I was just watching TV and I basically had to like force myself to lay down and go to sleep.
Yeah. But it was worth it. So yeah. Worth it waking up and not having that exam. And now we're done.
It was like, basically what I feel like as an all-nighter, you know, to be finished. Like, I don't think I would have really been able to sleep anyways. I just been wanting to know what was on it. So I would have wanted to sit down and take it anyway. Yeah. So,
I mean,
it was kind of nice to just plan ahead and like plan to know like stay, like sleep in as late as I could, study. Mm-hmm. And then we,
yeah,
you know. So this episode, we're going to talk about our highs and our lows of 1L and just kind of do a little reflection on what we thought about this past semester and all the details. I know we got asked, you know, at the end of this, if at the end of our 1L semester or 1L year, excuse me, if we could do a reflection. So we wanted to make sure and do this. It's really fresh. Like Samantha said, we just got done. So
yeah, we literally had one day off yesterday and I was still thinking about law school the whole entire time. Like it's so hard to switch off your brain and just relax for a second. So, you know, we have about 10 days until our summer classes start. So it'll be nice to just kind of relax. And this will probably be the last time I'm going to actively try to think about law school.
Yeah, for sure. So first we're going to start with our lows so we can end on a positive, which would be our highs, right? So you want to tell a little bit about your lows, Samantha?
Yeah. So I listed a few of, I guess, these moments where I felt like I felt not like at my lowest, but just maybe not encouraged, or I felt like I didn't know if I was cut out for this. So I think the first one was probably like getting my memo back from semester one. I now looking back when I read it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like what were you even thinking? Like this is terrible, right? But at the moment I was just super confused. I honestly didn't really know what legal writing was like. I didn't have any prior experience. So I think that first legal writing situation just got me down. Even though I didn't even do terribly, it was just terrible for my standards. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was my first sign of defeat.
Yeah.
And it took me a bit to get out of that rut and kind of realize like, okay, this is my first legal writing. Like it wasn't going to be perfect.
Yeah. It was like, just like the first memo that you turned in.
The first memo. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah.
Because I was wondering if it was the very first one. I can't even really remember what our assignment was.
That's the thing. Like, I just felt like I didn't even know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And now, like, this time around, like, for the trial brief and the appellate brief, like, I have so much more understanding. And I could see, like, the big picture, like, finished product. Yeah. And I feel like with the memo, I just didn't really understand what I was doing. I was just kind of like, looking at the instructions and hoping that it was right.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Like, what do you think changed?
I think I just understood the law more coming into second semester, and like, I just felt more confident in what I was doing. And I don't know. It just...
Do you feel like maybe that first memo like made you wake up?
I don't even think it made me wake up. I think it was just, I didn't know enough. Like, I wasn't...
So do you think if in that period, if you would have known more, it would have been better?
Yeah, for sure. Because I feel like writing my trial brief and my appellate brief, like, those weren't hard for me to write. And I know that I did well, you know? I mean, haven't gotten my appellate brief back, but I feel pretty confident about it. And, like, when I turned in my memo, I didn't have any confidence.
Do you think that has anything to do with, like, the type of law we were writing about? Considering, like, this semester is criminal law and last semester was, you know, wills and estates, which is stuff we haven't even learned?
Possibly.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt way more comfortable with these to pass this writing this semester, at least. Mm-hmm. I feel like even looking back on the semester as a whole, my first semester, like, I was a newbie. Like, I didn't know anything.
True.
And, like, I think we've talked about this before, like, going into second semester, like, you just have way more confidence because you've already made it. And I feel like confidence is what takes you really far in law school, you know?
And in, like, the legal profession.
Of course.
Yeah.
So what are your lows?
Well, you know, I think overall, I just learned a lot about myself and like how my body handles stress and what all that entails. And I've just never been under such like high amounts of stress as I am in law school. So, you know, I feel like the person I am, I can kind of turn anything into a positive. So, I mean, even in this sense, I feel like it's a good thing that this happened, but like studying for the LSAT, I had a lot of panic attacks because I didn't really know what to expect, I think. And when I don't know what to expect, it makes me really like anxious and makes me into like a hamster wheel, you know? And there were times where I definitely suffered from panic attacks or anxiety attacks or just like hamster wheel situations of anxiety because of the amount of stress that I was under. And I think that like that's obviously a low because like no one wants to be like feeling sick and scared. And there were sometimes I couldn't even like get the words out. Like sometimes I didn't even know how I was feeling or the way these certain situations, like being at school all day around people all day, like would make me feel really tired or really worn out. Because in my mind, I'm always like an extrovert and I always wanted to be around people. But I think like in law school, I learned that sometimes I need time to just like be by myself and like decompress, like truly decompress. Yeah. And without that, like comes panic attacks. And, you know, I have these ocular migraines that I would get and I've gotten those before. And so that's kind of how I know, like, okay, I'm in a stressful situation, right? But then there were these like additional things that kept happening. Like my face would break out and I would get like stress acne and it would be like cystic style acne, you know? And it's just like, oh my gosh, dude, this is what this high amounts of stress isn't taking a toll on my body, basically. And I think that that's just been so eye-opening. And I think, you know, kind of to like turn that on its head in the sense of like, I'm under so much stress, but to come out on the other side of it, it's just like, wow, it does make it worth it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, one of my low points that I wrote down was extreme high stress as well.
Yeah.
I think, so in law school, not only are you stressed about every day pretty much going to school, I feel like it's stressful. Like, you know, if you are unprepared, you're going to feel even 10 times more stressed.
And also I feel like you're just worried, like, even if you're not unprepared, you're like,
there's always something.
You're just nervous about getting cold called. And like certain classes, like you feel more nervous about getting cold called than others. And, you know, every time you go to class, that teacher makes someone look stupid and you're worried that it's going to be you. Exactly. And I think that just makes you stressed.
And I think that's stress. I mean, there's also the stress. I mean, how you handle stress. Like I handle stress by either eating a ton or not eating at all. Mm-hmm. And it comes in like ebbs and flows. Like during finals, I was so stressed that I just didn't want to eat. But like, I know that before finals, I think we were talking about this, like I was eating so much just because I was so, number one, quarantine, I'm bored. Number two, high stress when I'm bored is even worse, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I get extremely anxious and I've learned to kind of recognize all this. And, you know, at the time it's kind of hard. Unless you look back and you're like, oh, wow, the difference between then and now.
Yeah.
And I noticed that I do have extreme like high stress anxiety and my stomach starts having problems and I eat or I don't eat. And I feel like that hadn't been amplified. I never had an experience like that in college, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Or so, yeah, maybe before I took the LSAT. Like
so
you
maybe
said.
Like your eating habits were amplified by stress.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this summer I'm going to really try to work on just trying to get myself back on track in all aspects of my life, like sleeping patterns, eating, you know, how I need to for my body, and just like being healthier. And I feel like my mental health will, my anxiety and all that, will be able to control once the rest of my life is kind of back on track.
Yeah. And I think it's just interesting that you bring up eating as like part of that, because I genuinely think like this is just something that dawned on me like in this moment, but 2 years ago, which is basically the age you are now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely realized I had a problem with eating and food, and it comes from a lot of different things. The boredom thing that you mentioned, stress, like you mentioned. And I think as young women, we've worked out our lives, you know, now in your 20s, your body is changing from this young person with a high metabolism to now this older person and a more womanly person. And I think we all kind of have these bad relationships with food. And I know me and you have talked about that a lot. Yeah. And I think it'd be a good thing to talk about more, you mm-hmm. know, because it's kind of just making me realize like we put our feelings back on food, you know,
and
it makes us, it gets you back on that hamster wheel of stress and yes. like, oh, I'm eating bad. So now I need to stop eating.
Exactly. Blah, 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 blah. And I think just food in general, and I know I'm not the only one who struggles with it, but like, so you get into the cycle where you're good
mm-hmm.
and then the stress starts, right?
Yeah.
So that for me, that would be probably the beginning of the semester,
mm-hmm.
right? Stress starts. I'm still trying to keep it on track. I'm still trying to work out.
You're barely hanging
mid-semester,
on.
Mid-semester. I mean, unfortunately, this semester quarantine started.
So that really, I think that just really threw a wrench in everything.
Yes. Because like we both were on the schedule yeah. of like, we were going to spin class like multiple times a week. We were, you know, keeping each other accountable, and then it all stopped.
And we were intermittent fasting really well, you know,
yeah.
we would wake up in the morning and we would go to school and we would wait to eat. And like,
we'll be right back.
Hey guys, we want to take a moment to talk about something that has been a game changer for us busy lawyers, Audible.
Yes, Audible has been our go-to platform for incredible audiobooks, offering an extensive library of thrillers, nonfiction, autobiographies, and mysteries.
And guess what? We've got a special treat for you. Audible is offering a free trial to our listeners, and all you need to do is check the link in the show notes. It's the perfect opportunity to experience the magic of audiobooks without spending a dime.
Speaking of thrillers, I know you are currently hooked on Never Lie by Freda McFadden. Samantha, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. The twists and turns in Never Lie have kept me on the edge of my seat during the workday and even when I'm on my daily walks. It's like having a suspenseful companion wherever I go.
And for those looking for some financial wisdom, I have been engrossed in My Money, My Way by Kamuku Love. It's packed with practical advice on managing finances, perfect for anyone trying to navigate the complexities of money management.
What we love most is the flexibility Audible offers. As lawyers, our schedules can be unpredictable, but with Audible, we can enjoy our favorite books on the go, whether we're stuck in traffic, hitting the gym, or waiting for a court hearing.
So, if you're ready to embark on a literary journey and discover the joys of audiobooks, click the link in the show notes to start your free trial with Audible. Trust us, you won't want to miss out on this fantastic offer.
It just was all thrown into a mess. And I think it would have been different if coronavirus hadn't, you know, that's also low, obviously. Coronavirus kind of messed up.
One out here.
And just about like the way that we deal with stress, you got to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to forgive myself when I notice like, oh, well, I've gained a ton of weight. Now I'm going to stress about that on top
it's
of what I'm
like
stressing about now.
It's always a thing. Like, I kind of think that like no matter 2 years from now, we're both going to be probably having the same conversation.
For the bar.
I think it's like an ebb and flow thing, like you're mm-hmm. saying. And I think I think the first step is recognizing that you have this poor relationship, right? and that you use it as a coping mechanism, mm-hmm. basically, you know? And I think there are times, that's why my New Year's resolution in 2019 was to recognize how food makes me feel. And I recognize that when I would binge eat fast food or like these things, I would feel so bad. Like literally feel like I'm going to
throw up.
Yeah. And I think slowly we both realize that. And I think it's nice to talk about with someone else because you're like, okay, it's not just me. And two, like, okay, maybe we can recognize we don't have to do that next time, but we can binge eat our pasta that we're going to make ourselves with our sausage. Like we did that one time and it's just like a different situation, you know?
Exactly. I just think it's also nice having friends like, you know, Haley and I are like literally best friends. Mm-hmm. So we know a lot about each other and clearly we both deal with similar struggles, you know? So,
and I think it's brought on even more amplified by stress because I think we want to be perfect at school and we want one less thing to worry about, which would be food and what we're going to eat and put in our bodies.
But
we
want, so
yeah. And I think it's, you know, convenience because eating fast food is convenient, but also knowing that like, it's not worth it. Like it really just truly isn't worth it. And like my feeling, and I know we both feel like if we ate Taco Bell, we feel like shit, you know? So I think it's nice to be able to look at others and be like, oh, okay. So it's not just me. We don't just have to like keep doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. We can be better.
It's so nice to have like people to keep you accountable. And I know it sounds like so cheesy to say that, you know, like,
but anyone else feeling that way out there, you know, know that we can help you keep you accountable because I feel like even just in this moment, I realize like both of us feel these same things and like, there's no reason, you know, we can recognize those feelings and we can be like, okay, I'm feeling stress. I'm stress eating. I'm going to walk away.
Yeah.
You know,
or just find other ways to cope with it. Like I know that intermittent fasting has been good for me.
A God saver.
And,
gives you something to do. Exactly, don't you kind of feel like that? Yeah.
You have a little app, like all this stuff, but I mean, that's besides the point. We're not like a weight loss or, you know, podcast, but you know, we struggle with it too. And I think it's a big thing for law students. I know that I'm not the only one who has, a tricky relationship with stress and food.
Yeah.
Because I know that as much as I do want to like have that binge eat, sometimes it turns into me not eating at all. Like I just have no appetite. It becomes
it also becomes a control thing. You don't want it to develop into anything dangerous, you know? So I think it's nice to just, that's why I'm glad we talked about it because it's good to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think us as young females do it enough, you know, talk about food and how eating disorders are a thing and they come in all shapes and form. And sometimes, you know, high compulsive stress can make you be crazy.
And that's the thing I turn into, if anyone knows me, I'm a type A, you know, Enneagram one. Like I am always at peak, you know, alertness and
working, and like,
you know, always making sure that things are done the way they're supposed to and on time. And I always have a schedule and plan for every single task that needs to be, you know, as we speak on my huge board that I have that everyone knows about, I have my to-do list for today. And it's literally the whole entire board. And that's just my first day of summer. So I feel like if you know that about me, you can only imagine what stress does to me. And I know a lot of people in law school are these type A people.
Just like that.
So it's like, and imagine everyone feeding off of each other's stress because that's the natural thing to do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
it's just nice. I think
disclaimer, if you're going to go to law school, like be prepared, like you're going to experience stress. And I know there's people who seem like they don't, but they are, And
I think that that's something like that we can even change as a culture is to not make it where like, oh, well, I'm not stressed. I'm fine. Like, no, everyone in law school is stressed. Like, be willing to talk about it with your peers and your cohorts and your friends. Like, even in this exact moment, like being able to open up and be like, guys, I've been eating like crap lately. Like, have you, you know, does anyone else? And you're like, dude, I do that when I'm really stressed. Mm-hmm. Are you really stressed? And they're like, yes, I'm so stressed because of this moot court, mock trial, whatever is going on. You know, all of a sudden you start talking about it. You recognize it. You feel better.
Yeah.
So totally. And I think, and that's kind of like even changing that to a high too, because I think like we've learned so much about ourselves, you know. And my last few things that are my lows are long distance in law school. It's tough. Obviously, we've talked about that before. I definitely just think that that's one of my lows. And along with that is just like missing my friends, missing my family, like being back so close to everybody. You know, you just realize in that time period you took it for granted and now you're like, dang.
No, yeah.
I miss them.
I agree. Not maybe in the long distance aspect mm-hmm. for like a significant other, mm-hmm. but like definitely for my family. I mean, they live in Florida.
Yeah.
And I, you know, haven't seen them in a long time. And I'm pretty used to during college, like visiting them pretty often. I mean, more than other other students. So I get that. It is a low, but it's nice that we do have like really good relationships with our families and it's, you know, they're very supportive, which yeah. helps the distance.
And you can talk to them on the phone. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
In general, like overall, even in first semester, I mean, obviously this past semester was different because I was with my family more, mm-hmm. but just in general, like as a 1L student, you know, you're going to find yourself missing people. You're going to miss potentially like the life you had before or the normalness that was there before that is now so hypersensitive with law school and stress and your to-do list that you have constantly looming over you, you know? I think that's why once it's over, now it's over for us. It's just, I feel like such a sigh of relief and a weight lifted off my shoulders because we can just go see everybody and be relaxed with them. We don't have to be worrying about work in school.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said before, since I am such a anxious person naturally,
yeah.
I think it's going to be so hard for me to turn that switch off and relax.
Yeah.
And like, I know this. I mean, my dad even texted me yesterday. He was like, please relax, you know?
Yeah. I think that that's even something though, like you could say that you learn about yourself in this experience, right? Is like, okay, it's solidified. I'm a very type A, this type of person. And you have to remember and you have to be able to turn it off at some point, you know, mm-hmm. and give yourself some type of relaxation. Whether that's up to everyone else's standards, it might not be, you know, but you have to do it for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where
self-care.
And that's where you learn. And as you become more adult, and I just, there's nothing quite like that, you know? Because I think yeah. that's something you probably learned about yourself because in undergrad, like you said, you were never in this kind of stressful environment. Why would you have been?
There was no reason to.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't remember in undergrad working half as hard as I do right now.
Exactly.
And I think it has a lot to do with passion and like we're so passionate about law school and like the law and like the experience that we're in right now that, you know, we only want to do the best. And I think that's where the stress comes because if we didn't want to be here, if we didn't really care, I don't think stress would be...
We wouldn't keep working hard.
Yeah.
I think you just give up, you know?
And speaking about stress, we are so excited to announce our sponsor for this episode, which is Ayla. It's a female-founded company that sells natural and matcha-based pre-workout supplements. So we had the privilege to try this stuff out before we could, you know, obviously we're not going to plug anything that we don't love.
Yeah.
So we both tried the Ayla package. It's like a little pouch that has the powder in it.
Yeah. And it's a green supplement powder that has a lot of really awesome ingredients in it. Obviously, matcha green tea is one that gives you the matcha taste and that is the caffeine that it gives you. So basically, this could be considered like a coffee alternative. Yeah. I know we have a few friends that don't really like coffee, so this is perfect. Whenever I tried it, I just put it in a water bottle and shook it up, kind of like Spark, like we were talking mm-hmm. about earlier. And I've never really had matcha and I really liked it. So, and I know Samantha went about it in a very much more delicious way. So yes. I'll let her tell you about that. But back to the ingredients, obviously matcha's in it. It has bee pollen, beetroot powder,
spirulina,
vitamin B6, B12, biotin, heck yeah, a little bit of stevia in there, which is nice because anyone who knows stevia doesn't have the calories. So it's very light on your stomach, everything like that. I know the spirulina, I drink in my green juice like every day. So it's just an addition. It's basically helps lower cholesterol, which I definitely need. And some of those other like bee pollen, it helps with your immune system, which is really good for right now. Mm-hmm. And the beetroot powder helps in the pre-workout aspect of the matcha. So I really like it. I'm all about the all natural supplements and all natural ingredients. So whenever they reach out to partner with us, it was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah. And so the way I made it was 10 ounces of water. I put some ice and then I put the powder in. I shook it up. And then I also added some oat milk. So it was kind of like an iced matcha latte. And it was really good because I didn't feel jittery. I know that coffee can sometimes give me the jitters and I didn't feel that. I was actually really impressed with how energized I was, but it, like I said, no jitters, which was great. So yeah, I think it'll be a great way to get energy in a different way.
Yeah.
And obviously we both loved it. Mm-hmm. It was so cute. Such a cute company, cute website, cute packaging. And it honestly really worked. And I'm trying to plug everybody onto it. I mean, I called my mom after I tried it and I was like, this is honestly really good. I think you would like it because you like green tea.
Yeah,
you
know? For sure. I think it's a very great supplement, easy to throw in our bag to go to law school, go to work during the summer and just, you know, have it to, I mean, because in my mind, I drink coffee in the morning and yeah, it does give me the jitters. So this is a huge, awesome perk that this doesn't give me the jitters, but throwing this in my bag and being able to have it in the afternoon would be so easy.
And because we love you guys so, so much, we have a discount code. It is LadiesWhoLaw20 for a 20% discount at meetayla.com. So that's their website. That's spelled A-I-L-A. And they also have an Instagram at meetayla. It's super cute, super like aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I love it. Great, great partner for us. And we will have more information for you guys on Instagram later this week, kind of how we took it and just a little bit more about our review. You know, we're going to link it, the website, so you can go buy some yourself and get you some 20% off.
So thanks again to our sponsor, Ayla.
Yeah, thanks, Ayla.
So I guess since we're all in a, you know, better mood, not talking about the lows anymore, what would be some of your highs from this past year?
So I feel like I kind of touched on this a little bit, you know, talking about how to turn a low into a high. But personally, I found out that I can be alone and that I kind of like it and that I recuperate better that way. And even though I'm very much so an extrovert, there's like a fine line between being with people too much and then being alone too much that I kind of tangle with, you know? And in law school, I really learned that. Like, you know, I wonder to myself if it's going to be like that in the real world where we're working with attorneys so much, you know, because in a lot of the TV shows, it seems like everyone works like with a group and then goes works on their own, which I think is a very doable thing, mm-hmm. you know. But whenever you have class all day and you're reading and studying in between, like you're going to be with people a lot, you know? And even if you're not with the same people, you're going to be around people to
where at all times
you can talk and, you know, mess around. And I think it drained me being the social butterfly that I am and always trying to be on point and things. It just really made me exhausted. And I realized like, okay, I have to take time for myself. And, you know, I just think it's important as a high point to realize how you grew and how you're changing for the better. And I think that that's one of them because I hate being alone. I think I was genuinely more scared about being alone than I should have been. And I didn't ever want to live alone. And so then when I got into law school away from Colton, I realized, okay, I'm going to have to live by myself. And I like it, you know?
I mean, so. I think, like you said, being around people all the time, we're both people that need our space. And I think that's good to kind of refresh, recoup, and be able to be a nice person to be around the next day.
Yeah, and I think I never really realized that about myself. I think that that's why that's very interesting. Like, in my mind, I never, and I guess I look back, you know, like in the work atmosphere, you go home, you go to lunch, or, you know, you have these breaks, and it made me to where I could really be on point and be really good at things a lot. And you realize how draining it is to be so aware. And I think that's why law school is the way it is. I think it builds up your stamina of working for so long and being on point for so long that it makes you to where you can, you know, I mean, they basically say that they're just training you for the bar, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that kind of goes with another point of mine is that I got to points and I stretched myself to places I didn't think I could be, you know. I have always asked myself like, oh, do you pick the easier route because it's easier? You know, maybe you don't always like a challenge. And I can genuinely say finally for once I picked something that is a challenge and I feel stretched and I feel accomplished and proud of myself where I can genuinely say that I know I'm doing something that other people can't. And it's really hard. And you should look at me for this information. You know, I think I find validation in people looking to me for things. And being in this profession is exactly what they do. And I'm realizing, like, okay, I have the skills to become a lawyer. Now let me just sharpen them and fine tune them. And now I can do something where I'm like genuinely challenged every day. And I just like, that's just,
well, it's just like invaluable. Growth, not only intellectually, but just personally in all aspects of your life. Like after your first year of law school, I mean, I feel like every single aspect of your life changes.
We'll be right back.
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken? Well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma at The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
Yeah, I mean, you're just growing. Like everyone says, like, wow, you're such a different person. You know, even just the way you speak,
yeah,
is different. You know, and it's finding yourself on a professional level. I think there's always a part of me as a PR person who wanted to be this, and it's interesting because I'm watching The Good Fight, and the Democratic National Committee came into their office and was like, yeah, well, we want to work with you guys potentially rather than a PR firm because we want attorney client privilege. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, oh my God, this is like exactly what I wanted my whole life. Like these little liaison, like not liaison, but you know, different pathways that you can go down with a law degree is just something that I had always kind of imagined myself with, but I was almost too scared to act on. And now finally realizing like I can do this, it's just so empowering. And I'm just excited for people to do their first year. And even when we're done with our second year and that and so on, it's just like, I see why other attorneys want to help younger attorneys because it's like that passion. It just,
and it's not easy. They know it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know,
obviously. Yeah. I think that that's, you know, basically the whole point of, yeah, it's obviously not easy, but if you're somebody who wants a challenge and doesn't feel fulfilled and you're looking for these things and you're just kind of like, I don't know what to do with myself, maybe there's something more out there.
I mean, it's worth a shot if you've ever wanted to go to law school or be a lawyer. Like taking the LSAT is the first step and that's already hard. And if you can do that, you know, you should be able to do law school and it might be the thing for you. But you have to give it a try. I mean, there's a lot of people who go through their first year and realize that it's not for them.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't want to be all high strung and high stressed. And I mean, being a lawyer at the end of the day, like it's a very stressful job.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Yeah. What are some of your highs?
Well, I think honestly, the whole year was a high. I really just loved being in law. Like, well, obviously I'm still in law school, but I liked being at the school. I liked meeting all my friends, obviously John. I feel like my social life is just more well-rounded now, you know? Like I was much of a person who didn't like to hang out with people ever, probably towards the end of college because I was so sick of it. But now I found people that I can kind of, you know, be myself around with. They have very similar interests, so I just feel like it's a good fit.
Yeah, I feel like you've really grown into who you, like, you found yourself, you know, I feel like you recognize maybe things that you do and don't like about yourself and you're willing to work on those good or bad and come out the side as a better friend, a better daughter, a better business partner and a lawyer. You know, I think that you're just growing up.
Yeah.
You're in your young 20s. I mean, like I said, 2 years ago,
I know
it's just always so exciting.
I always forget that, like, I am one of the youngest people in our law class right now. Yeah. It's like me and one other girl, we're both 22, which is, in the grand scheme of things, pretty young. So I think that had a lot to do with just being around more mature people and like
people like me.
Yeah, because you are, you know, you're definitely older than I am. We're going to have a big birthday blowout for Haley when she turns 25, the big 2-5.
I can't believe it.
Halfway to 50.
Stop it.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about
that. Quarter life crisis, you know, I know. People say that.
It's okay. I'll be here for you.
Should we buy a big house in it with a pool?
I mean, honestly, we have been talking about it. We're not going to buy a house, clearly, but it would be cool maybe to have a huge house that we could all live in, but
with a pool. I mean, all I can think about is the pool. Right,
yeah. Now. Our pool at our apartment complex obviously hasn't opened.
We've been waiting patiently.
It's been
very warm.
It's been so warm, except actually as we are recording right now, it looks like it's about to tornado outside.
It's just classic Oklahoma, bipolar weather, just back and forth. I mean, yesterday we had a beautiful picnic to celebrate the end of our 1L year, and it was so hot.
Too hot.
We were laying in the sun. I felt like I should be at the pool. That's why I can't stop thinking about it.
I felt like a rotisserie chicken. Yeah. Like, it was so horrible. But then we moved to the Shade and everything was perfect.
It was nice. We had such a great time. It was so nice to decompress yesterday and, you know, just going off some of those high feelings of, like, being done, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. And I guess just to end things, we wanted to give you guys some, you know, you probably heard this before in many of our other episodes, but just some before you start law school tips, like what we wish we would have known, or maybe we did know and didn't take it seriously enough. But I think the number one thing is you're going to be doing a lot of reading, so get comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I've always said, like, that summer before law school, try to read a lot, whether it's leisurely or about law school, read, because you're going to be reading a lot, and it's good to know to speed read.
Yeah.
I think another point to make is everyone is just as scared as you are. We talked about, like, confidence earlier.
Yes.
And just know that the most confident person in there is just as scared as you.
For sure.
They're most likely putting on a front. And I think, I mean, we did that too, I'm sure.
I think there's a difference between being confident and being also like humble in a way, right? Mm-hmm. And also being open with your peers. I know I can be a very confident person, but like exactly what you're describing, like I'm just as scared and nervous as the next person. Mm-hmm. I think it's being open about that and being able to talk about that and be like, guys, I'm, you know, y'all might think that I'm okay, but I'm really not. I'm nervous. And they're like, me too. And yeah. Everyone kind of has that camaraderie.
And I think that just helps, like, when you start noticing you're feeling scared, just know that that's literally imposter syndrome. We have a whole episode about that.
So please listen.
So please listen, because
we feel it every day.
Yeah. Until now, like, we're done with 1L and I'm still like, oh, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I've had to tell multiple people, like, no, you're feeling that because of imposter syndrome, because of coronavirus and us being here. Like, we're still supposed to be here. We're still working really hard. Like, don't question yourself. Keep it up.
And I guess the last thing that I would really recommend for all future 1Ls, the summer before law school, network. It's something that I should have done more, especially if you have your LinkedIn set up. Add some attorneys that you look up to. I know. Yeah. Haley did that.
I mean, I think kind of going off, I know we talked about this a little bit about networking and how it is just so important. I think if you have questions about maybe what networking is or how to go about it and get started, I think please feel free to reach out to us and ask. I mean, some of this stuff I feel like is just second nature to me, so I don't really know what to say. But whenever Samantha and I, before this episode, were just talking about how she wished that she would have networked more, the LinkedIn thing is 100% something that I would recommend to everyone to have. I know there can be some older attorneys that maybe don't have LinkedIn, but they have emails and they have websites, so that's how you can find them on there. They're already established. You as a young attorney are not. And this is just a way for people to find you. I mean, you're naive to think that people don't look you up before you get a job. So make sure they have something to find you and that it is professional and reputable.
Yep. And I think going along with LinkedIn, since that is a form of social media, you know, like you said, keep it professional, but also like make sure your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram, or any public social media that you have is professional. Like if you have tweets from high school where you're maybe not saying the best things, I definitely know some people have to clean up their social media and just be aware that people are looking, or just put all your stuff on private too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Samantha even mentioned that she cleaned up her social media, and I asked her, like, well, what did that mean, cleaning it up, you know? And she's like just taking down pictures that maybe I wasn't proud of that were like pixelated or were just things that like I didn't look my best in. That's also a way to clean up, you know,
exactly.
just putting your best foot forward professionally. What do you want out there for everyone to see and for them to essentially get their first impression of you by? So keep that in mind.
Yep. And with all that being said, you know, we are still going to be recording this summer. I know we have internships. Hopefully that those will still be a thing starting in June. So we'll be recording. We'll definitely be, you know, letting you guys know how internships are going and how classes are going because we're both taking summer classes. I think we are going to be doing a break at some point. I mean, we don't really know.
But that won't be until probably the end of the summer. Yeah, so
exactly.
We're going to finish out our what we like to call our season one, which is 1L and our 1L summer. And, you know, keep you guys updated, answer questions, just have these real conversations with you guys. And then when August rolls around, maybe after a little break, we're going to start season two, launch some new merch and get the next stage started.
Yeah. And like, just reiterating what you said about merch, we are planning on dropping new merch up this fall. So if you guys have ideas of what you guys want, because we're going to go about it a little differently this time. So give us ideas. I know one of our listeners tie-dyed one of the sweatshirts.
It was the cutest thing.
And it was so cute. So
we both ordered them to buy them. Yeah. I mean, to tie-dye them. So
go on our Instagram and in our stories. If you click merch, all the merch is there. If you want to take a look out, maybe how it fits on other people. But, you know, support your small businesses.
Yeah. And also, keep up with us on Instagram. I know we're going to be talking more about our partner and we're going to be talking about our merch and just the way the summer and the end of the year is wrapping up and summer classes are starting. So, you know, we love to hear from you guys on Instagram. And also don't forget to like us on Facebook. We have our Facebook group on there too, the Ladies Who Law School community. So feel free to check us out, join that as well. And
like always, rate and review 5 stars if you can. And we will talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.